Morning. What a great day. What a great day of celebration for Jesus. This is so good. Welcome to Frontline Worship Center. If you're visiting, we're glad to have you here. Welcome all families and friends. We have an exciting program coming up, an exciting demonstration of these little children and their love for Jesus. And they're getting their costumes on, so we're waiting just a little bit. While we are, just going to go ahead and put up Hebrews 4:12. We'll put up NASB. There's a couple of verses that I believe would be very helpful as the little children are coming to demonstrate what Jesus has done in their hearts. And I think that they're a message for us this morning when they come. I really believe that. And I believe you as parents and family and supporters, just seeing their little faces and hearing what they're going to say and what they're going to sing, that's meant by God to encourage you and strengthen you. I know yesterday I was shopping in Bueller's for our family get-together, one of our family times, a big Christmas time with our group, and I just said to the Lord, I said to the Lord in the car, and I was telling her this morning this, Haley, one of our gals here, I was saying in the car on the way there, I said, Lord, just give me a word today, give me something encouraging, I already was, but just I want to hear from you. So as I was going through the line, now, you know what this is like when you're in a shopping center or you're in a grocery store and somebody comes up you don't know and they grab you from behind. Has that ever happened to you? A great big grab. I went, ho! Oh. At church, I know that's normally somebody I know and love, and I hope it is at Bueller's too. And so I turned around and it was Haley, and she had driven into Bueller's. She had driven into Bueller's and she saw my car. And she said, oh, I think that's her car, and she pulled next to me. And then in Bueller's, she was checking out too, I guess, or something, and this big hug. And so I was just laughing and smiling about that. So I told her in the office this morning, I said, you were the word of the Lord to me. Just your love, just the demonstration of your faithfulness to him, your love for me, both together, was just a boost of love and blessing from God. And I really believe that that's an example of actually walking out these very scriptures that we're going to look at just briefly before the kids, as the kids come and get ready and such. But Hebrews 4:12 is talking about a scripture, or is a scripture that is very familiar to many of us, about the word of God being sharper than a two-edged sword. And the Lord is saying that he wants us to not only focus on the word who became flesh and came down to dwell amongst us, but also that we would become so like him that we would be able to demonstrate him wherever we go. And that demonstration of love from Haley was just a big deal. It wasn't just, oh, let me give her a hug. I was saying, what did you mean by this, Lord? Why was this happening? What was going on? And he was reminding me, excuse me, of all of his promises. All of his promises to me personally, to this body, for Haley, and a lot of other things. And he was reminding me that she is an example of love, but an example of what God's wanting to do, continuing to pass that baton of love and grace and mercy to each one of us. So as we become a living word more and more, if we become more like him, then we're going to see the demonstration of his love just being pushed and passed right into other people we're around. And it's how we do the kingdom that really matters. God is saying, I want you to know about my kingdom, but how you do kingdom really does make a big difference. And it was just a reminder of that. And so as we look at these scriptures, also preparing for these little ones coming in, be thinking that these little ones will grow up. They're the ones who'll be holding the microphones. They'll be the ones getting on the planes to go to foreign countries for missions, or they'll be the ones carrying a strong presence into the political realm or the legal realm or the medical realm or wherever it is, whatever realm, they'll carry that presence of the living God. And so all of these steps that might seem like baby steps are all very significant and important to the Lord. He really cares about all these things, and he blesses those kinds of things. He really does. So as we look at that, I just encourage you. This was on my heart this morning. I didn't know I'd be speaking about this between when Pastor Bill was leading worship with the worship team and the kids coming in. We weren't sure of the timing of all this and how long he was going to go and all. But I just really feel compelled right now just to tell you that and just to show you and demonstrate that to you, to be able to think about the little ones coming up and what that might mean in your own families, in your own churches here, if you're not a member or a participant here somewhere else, that he's up to something really big in the world. And he's saying that these little people are part of it. And they're coming. So let's just look at this. This is the Word of God, which is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrows, of the deepest part of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of our heart.
first Christmas day. But Mary and Joseph had no place to stay. They knocked on the door but were sent away. There's a barn out back, you can sleep on the hay. No room. You will find room in my heart.
can learn a little something from our drummer children.
Yes, that's just the message is clear. We don't have to do our best or have the best things in order to worship our King.
Do for you, what can I bring to you? What kind of song would you like me to sing? Cause I'll dance a dance for you, pour out my love to you. What can I do for you, beautiful King? Cause I can't thank you enough. Cause I can't thank for you. What can I bring to you? What kind of song would you like me to sing? Cause all ends a dance for you, pour out my love to you. What can I do for you, beautiful King? Oh, cause I can't thank you enough. Oh, cause I can't thank you. What can I do for you? What can I bring to you? What kind of song would you like me to sing? Cause all dance a dance for you, pour out my love to you. What can I do for you, beautiful King? Oh, cause I can't thank you enough. Cause I can't thank you.
Children, this was really beautiful. Before you go, we come back up. We want to pray for you guys, all the children. If you were not in the play, come on up, all the children. We want to pray for you. That was amazing. Just stay up here for just a minute. Come on back in. If you want to be up here, little guys and girls. That was really beautiful. Really, really touched our hearts. And more importantly, I believe it touched the heart of the Lord. Come on in, sweetie. Anybody? Yeah, and babies included. Just kind of, parents help them so these little ones in the back sitting can be seen too. Just want to pray for them. Anybody else? Just bring your little ones up. Yeah. Can you help them a little bit? We can get them up. They can stand up. Just extend your hands to these little guys. If you want to just bring up the little ones. Yeah, we're waiting for a few more to come. You guys can stand up. All the drummers and sheep and everybody can stand up. I just want to pray for them. Yeah. All the babies. Oh, we have all the babies up here. We have Mama Jamie. Come on, you got a baby. Yeah. You ready, Josiah? We're going to pray. No. Let's just extend our arms to these little guys and girls. Father, we just thank you for their lives. We thank you, Lord, that you have chosen them from before the foundations of the world to carry your fire, to carry your glory, to carry your love, to be world changers. Lord, look at these little ones. Your eyes are on them. And they're learning, Lord, how to love you. They're learning what love looks like, how to stay a little longer, knowing that who they are in you and the love that you have for them is really what will carry them for the rest of their life in power, in authority, in truth. Father, I thank you for the fullness of their destiny and call, the journey that they're on right now, and that each one, Lord God, would know you so intimately, so personally, so strongly, Lord, that nothing would ever separate them from your love and your heart. Thank you, Lord. As our eyes look at them, we just stand with them. We support them. We say yes to you. Yes for what God says who you are. Yes. And that even through great times that we have during this Christmas season, we're looking forward to so many good things coming and even other things coming. We just say the Lord is with you, Emmanuel, God with us. And he's so proud of you. Aren't we proud of them? We are so proud of you guys. And the Lord is so proud of you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You are royalty. Amen. Okay, guys, go to class. Amen. Good job. Thank you to all those who helped put this on. And I don't remember the last time I really cried through a children's program, unless it was my own kids when they were last year, he says. Okay. Wow. It's probably truth there. You know, this is such a joyous time. You know, it's filled with a lot of emotions. Oh. You know, some may have tears for another reason, too, on top of that. But it's kind of a mixture, maybe, on some fronts. And the Lord just wants us to be encouraged and be strengthened during this season, knowing that we really, really can just bend our knee to him and say, you're everything I am, and I need everything. And that I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. I'm going to give my life for you, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, my life is laid down for you. And you can't go wrong when we say that and do that. He will turn everything around. He will move things around in our life. Circumstances will begin to change. And sometimes they even look a little harder for a while. But he's a master planner. He really is. He knows what he's doing. He's in control. That means he's sovereign. But he gives us a choice. You know how that all works? I don't know. If you figure that out, let everyone know because you'll be the only one. But the Lord does tell us in Scripture that he wants us to just give our lives, just lay ourselves down completely for the King. Just lay ourselves down. Just lay down. As Jesus laid down, he offered his life Nobody took his life. He laid his life down. And he said, here's my life. I came to serve. I came to die. I was born as a little baby in a manger, but I came with a purpose. So he came with a very, very strong purpose to be able to release the love of the Father to us, release the love of our Papa in heaven to us in a way that we can embrace and we can know not only who we are in him, that means we have our identity in him, but also through that identity that we can make a big change in the world around us. You know, we are drawn by his love and we're pushed forward, propelled forward by his love. It's really that simple, but he's in the process right now of grooming us, you know, giving us haircuts and doing our nails and helping us go to the health place or the gym or just running around the block, just building our muscles. He's saying there's so much coming, so much more, and you're right in the midst of where you are to be today. You're not in Afghanistan yet. That's coming. But God is saying right where you are today is where you're supposed to be for us here in this place. We believe that God's drawn you here. We believe that he's given us a privilege, just like he gave me a privilege to have Haley come up and hug me at Bueller's I was telling you about yesterday. But he's given us a privilege to be able to recognize what he's doing. And so when I was crying over here, I wasn't crying until the children started singing. I didn't know what was going on, and Cynthia said, this is your surprise. I said, oh, he's surprised, yeah. I know what she's talking about. And then they started demonstrating that song and that dance, and it's very personal for me. I don't like to use the word performed, did, but performance, if we don't have performance attached to it, that we're doing it to get great accolades or anything like that, but we're doing it to demonstrate, that's a good thing. So performance can be good that way. So on that note, that's what we've done with that song, with that worship song and dance in different places in the world. And so my mind was flooding to a lot of places. One in particular is in Asia, in Southeast Asia, in a place where little children were growing up to become world changers for Jesus. And they had been rescued out of really deep traps of slavery. And I don't know how many little people are still in here just visiting, so I'm not going to go into details. But I remember we were able to impart some things to them and teach them dances, teach them songs, teach them worship, ways to worship the King. And since that time, they have gone into another level of persecution. They've gone into another level of, why God, what does this mean? Are you really real? And their faith, their little faith, has been tested at a young age in a place where they found greater persecution, even after they'd been rescued. And so I was thinking about that, and my had this flash, this memory back to the time when I think it was Amy and Teresa demonstrating, and Deanne was with us another year as well, demonstrating different dances and things, and some of the guys were with us, to our little friends out in Southeast Asia. And I thought, wow, God, look what you have done for these children. Who would think that they would be persecuted again? And they are. In this season, since last March, suddenly. And it's like, God, that doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem fair. I don't get this. These are little children. And I know that in other places in the Middle East, Syria and other places, that people are losing their lives for Jesus, even little children. Their lives are on the line. And it's like, well, is that a Christmas message? Is that a Christmas story? No, it's not fun, but it's reality. And these little stars in the making, stars for Jesus shining. Great job, guys. We just love you. So proud of you. Woohoo! You know, their faith is being tenderized right now, and what's being deposited in them can stay with them and stick with them for the rest of their lives. You know, sometimes we just want to protect our little ones from everything, and that's a good mommy and daddy or grandma and grandpa. We don't want our kids to feel any kind of hurt or pain or stain. And we do our best to do that. But the world has a way of coming in and stealing, killing, and destroying. The enemy does. And so in the midst of that, our role as older ones in the faith, older than some of these, maybe, in the faith, is to be so filled up with Him, so filled up with His exploding love, so filled up with His power, so knowing who we are in the Lord and allowing Him to work in our lives beyond that initial knowing, that we can make a difference for these young ones. Just really, really is important in the season that we're in, because these things that I mentioned to you are happening, maybe not here in Jackson Township to this degree, but certainly they're happening around the world. So it's like, wow, Lord, I can disassociate myself with it, or I can say, you know, You love the world. You so love the world, Papa, that You sent Your only begotten Son, Jesus, the one that we've been singing about, that whosoever would believeth in Him would have everlasting life. And He says, well, listen, I want you to believe. And I want you to know. So when you see the signs on your tree or in your house, or you go to your loved ones and it just says believe or just believe, the Lord is saying, I really mean this. And it might be shaking for you, or there might be some feelings of, ugh, you know, where you're maybe going back and forth or up and down, or seeing something or feeling something that just doesn't seem or feel right. And the Lord says, you know, I've got an answer, and I will sort things out, and I will show you. Little children are just so trusting, aren't they, when they're little? And then there might be a step on them over and over and over. And maybe that's happened to some of you. And sometimes that trust is a little bit, oh, I don't know. Was that Jesus that I was singing about and spending time learning a dance for really worth it? Is He really my best friend? Doesn't He see that I'm hurting? Doesn't He see that I've gone through a struggle? Doesn't He see that I'm in pain? And He says, yeah, I certainly do. And every reproach that's come against you, I've taken upon Myself. It's like, wow, does that mean anything to us? It does to me. And I know when I'm a sentimental person, I really am. Oh boy, my family knows. but when I cry like I did today, it's really because the Holy Spirit is moving and present, and not just, wow, this reminds me of kids in Southeast Asia. But it's the Lord saying, hey, God's doing something. He's doing something in our hearts, and He's saying, I'm equipping you to be able to minister to them and to others like them, but I want you to be strengthened. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to know that without a doubt, I'm in your court. And these little ones who are really just demonstrating the Word of God, wasn't it great? Even about the drummer boy. Well, drummers, he's demonstrating the Word of God. They were demonstrating that and singing that. They probably knew in part what they were doing. And we'll encourage them and say, well done. And they felt really special wearing their crowns and their outfits and all of that. And we'll look back at pictures every year and go, remember when Kayshawn was a little guy and now he's out preaching the gospel in Canton. You know, remember when Joseph had his little crown on and was sitting there looking around, and now he's realizing more and more who he is. And now he's prophesying over the masses. How did that happen and where did that start? In the home, in here, in his heart, you know, and God is saying, really pay attention to what I'm doing, because I'm very, very intentional right now. It's very exciting to me to think on that front and to be able to be hopefully filled up with His power and His presence and His love, that I can be captured by Him in any moment. You know, I had a situation in my home last night where I was crying again. Holy Spirit was showing up again. And it just was a blessing to me to say, oh, Lord, You're involved in what's going on right now. I can feel Your presence. I know You're close. Wow, isn't that all that matters ultimately? Above and beyond everything else, when His presence is close and we're in His presence and we just know that He's showing up, oh, I don't maybe not understand everything, but I feel the closeness here. My mind might be going a million different directions. My emotions might even feel a bit haywire, especially during this going haywire, during this season, up and down and in and out. Like, why this? Why that? What's going on? I just want to go sing Christmas carols to the neighbors and pass out cookies and all of that. All those things are true, but the Lord is still moving and He's still working and He's still sorting things out for us. And he's saying, hang on, I've given you many promises, many promises. And my promises are yes and amen. Hold fast to the promises of God. Hold fast to what he's spoken in your heart. Hold fast to when he's given you a yes. It's really a yes, not a maybe. And he'll sort out those in between. He really will. Sometimes we spend the rest of our life wondering if he's really said yes. And I believe he can speak. He does. And he wants us to hear. Just can we please put up the Hebrews passage again on the screen, Hebrews 4:12. I don't think many people were probably catching this because the little one stole the show at that moment. It was their show, their moment. You know, that's okay. I was like, I want to just watch them coming up, but I started speaking about this. But this is a really powerful passage for this season. When you look at everybody's Christmas trees, when you open your gifts, maybe some of you already have opened some, we have, whatever it is during this Christmas season, when you're thinking about why Jesus came and what he came to do, he came to divide in our hearts the ick out so that we would have the new hearts. And we'll see that even in families and situations, you know, God's saying, how do you go through something that's uncomfortable? How do you do that? What do you do, God? And he gives us the scripture to hold on to. And he says, I want you to know that every word that I breathe, wherever it is, be it in your stockings, be it at a candle lighting ceremony, be it on Facebook, be it in the bulletin, if we have one today, I don't know, and if there's scripture in there, you know, be it around the tree when you're singing Christmas carols or around the piano or maybe you don't have a whole lot planned this season or whatever it is. Every song that we sing, even Joy to the World, everything, if we think about, wow, that's the word of God, do you know that we can be strengthened? We can be strengthened to be encouraged that he loves us and that his witness through us can bring peace and joy in the world in the way that he wants, because he knows that when he came, it was kind of icky looking. You know, it didn't look icky in the manger, but it looked icky as he stepped up, Jesus stepped up, and he got prepared for life. And Joseph and Mary couldn't even find him at one point. And they were so worried and anxious. Where's our son? And he approached them. He said, didn't you know I needed to be about my father's business? And he wasn't being a smart aleck. He wasn't being a little brat. That's not in Jesus. He didn't sin. But he was so tuned in with the Father, so tuned in with the Father's love, that he was able to recognize what it meant to be attached to the Father and be led by the Spirit of God. He understood that. And he wants us to understand that too. And that might look a little different, even for our family gatherings or our snowball fights or whatever it is. And that's the process that he has us in. He wants to dry our tears. Those who are crying in this season might have a time of celebration next Christmas that just absolutely will be totally the opposite of this season in circumstances. You know, he takes the long haul. He wants us to take the bigger picture or to receive the bigger picture that he has as we're going through the struggles and the temptations and the trials and things like that. When he says that we are to be aware of his joy, just absolutely culminating and filling us up to everything on the inside, that joy will look like something very, very specific. And he wants us to step in and become his message so strongly that people will want to change and they'll want to see the truth and they'll want to see the life and want to see who he is and then receive him and change and receive him more. You know, I was listening to a message. I haven't had a chance yet. I didn't have a chance until this morning. Pastor Bill gave a message that was very intentional in that the Holy Spirit told him and is very strong, talking about the battle that we go through and that was going on in the world for Christmas to happen. And then what it looked like and what it's many times looks like here and also around the world and what it can feel like and look like. And it's pretty strong. You know, the price that Jesus paid for us to be able to have Christmas together with our families and all of that is a big deal. It's a big, big deal. And he's saying, I want you to to know me so well that you can walk in and you can demonstrate who I am, recognizing underneath, you know, who I really, really am and what I came to do. So when we're talking and we're with our families and friends and things like that, we're imperfect beings, we know that, but we're able to demonstrate the reality of, well, you weren't here, if you weren't here last week, of what Pastor Bill was saying about the reasons that Jesus came. It was the other Christmas message. It wasn't Jesus was born in a manger and we sing happy, happy day. It was, hey, here's why he had to be born in a manger, and here's what's really happening in the spirit. If we're aware how we conduct ourselves and how we handle ourselves, we'll look like something because we're aware of what's really going on. There's a battle that we're in, and it would be a whole lot more fun to say that we're not, but we are, and we are in a battle. And he says, I so want you to be able to carry the truth of how to go through that battle to each other so we can link arms and say, okay, let's breathe deeply. It's not looking so fun. Let's be able to minister one to the other and encourage one another. We need to do that because all scripture is God-breathed, not just joy to the world, all scripture. So if it's the word of God, God wants to use that in our life in a good way. And he's very, very able to do that for us. You know, sometimes it might be in Bueller's by a hug, but other times it might be in a place where you least expect it. I didn't expect it in Bueller's, but it might be in a place where the word of God will come so strongly that you save a life. Have you ever been able to minister to someone who is ready to kill themselves? Maybe some of you have. Anyone who is so angry or so hurt or so desperate that they just wanted to end it all? I have. And it's like, God, I need a word in season. A hug is good, but a hug alone may not be the fullness of the answer that you have for them because you want them to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord, right? And he doesn't want us to die spiritually. He doesn't want us to decrease spiritually. He wants us to increase. And sometimes we step out and we offer a word that might feel a little shaky or bold, and maybe it won't be initially received. But if God says, I'm behind you, it's okay, then we trust God with the results of that. But the key is really knowing his voice. The key is really being able to be in his presence to know when he's saying to do that. Because if he's not, then that's not good. So let's just look at this real quickly here. Kind of probably a non-typical verse on a Christmas Sunday. But I just really felt compelled here to put this up. For the word of God speaks. The word that God speaks is alive, and it's full of power. So any word is full of power. Any word is full of power. So he wants us to learn. If the word of God is coming my way when I'm reading it or I see it somewhere, I ask myself first, what are you saying to me? Do you do that? I want to do it more. But that's what I really want to increase in my life. What are you saying to me personally? And it can help. Help me change. Help me become more accustomed to his voice, to know his voice more. But it's active, it's operative, it's energizing, and it's effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life. The soul, that's our mind, that's our will, that's our emotions. You know? And so it's like, God, I want that word to be used properly, to be offered properly, and I want it to be doing what you're saying. You're saying that you will do, your intention will do what this is saying up here. You will do it. How? I don't know. But he wants us to understand his word that way. So think about that. And then we take it to the Lord and say, all right, Lord, change me first in the process. The little ones need to see that. Those of you who will read the Christmas story or whatever you will do with your little ones or grandchildren or something, or you have children around this Christmas, season with presents and Santa and snowmen and cake and cookies and, you know, all the trimmings from that perspective. When you also step in, or instead of for some, step in to talking about Jesus and penetrating their little hearts, remember the strength of Hebrews 4:12. Remember the strength. Remember what the Word of God can and will do. Just imagine our Heavenly Father just saying, okay, I am going to give a message to this little one through you. And maybe this little one is, you know, 85, drinking tea in your house. Or maybe this little one is 70 and can't read as clearly as before. Or maybe this little one is in the hospital. I don't know. Whatever the little one is, whoever the little one is, be it a very young child or growing child or someone that needs a word from the Lord, we can be that message. We can become that messenger in a way that's so profound that might take us out of our comfort zone. It might not be easy. We might be the one person in our family. When in my family, this is real brief, I was the in my immediate family with four kids, mom and dad, to the best of my understanding, I was the first one to give their life to Jesus and completely, radically lay it down and be able to claim that I was born again or say that, I guess. And so I had a grandmother who did that in her years, but not in the immediate family. And so I remember when the Lord came into me and I came to know him, I got turned upside down. I got radically changed by this, by Hebrews 4:12, but I didn't know it. And I became an offense to the very ones who used to hang out with me and do the things that I would do, the things that they would do. And I changed. And I had a lot of hard times, honestly, and a lot of heartache for maybe about 10 years. And I remember one day, one of my unsaved siblings sat at a gathering at a restaurant, actually, and watched some others, you know, who loved me in their way, but what they were carrying was very mocking. And they stood up and they said, "Stop it, look what you're doing to her." And it was really hard. And it was one of those moments. And I'm not saying you need to do anything. I'm just telling you what happened to me. This is my story. And I remember, you know, and I had tears coming down, just kind of smiling like this at the other end, because I really didn't know what to do. But I was being made fun of for my faith. But it didn't come across that way. It was just kind of mocking about the person I used to be. And so my one sibling did that and looked around and was just kind of standing up for me. And I really believe that God used that powerfully to lead to his salvation. I didn't even have to say a word. But he watched and he witnessed something that was just not right. And he said, "Stop it. Don't do that." Well, he took the authority and the right. I don't know if he had it. I don't know. But that's what he did. And, you know, the joke that came was, "Ah, we're just kidding." You know, it was kind of that silence for a moment. But shortly after that, he got saved, got born again. I don't know. Was that a moment where God was using him, even in the midst of maybe his condition where he was unsaved, because he has a heart for things that are important and that they matter, and he had a relationship of some measure with God, but yet hadn't stepped into that radical I'm born again place, where I just need to know Jesus and know that I'm actually in the kingdom? He had a relationship, not personally, but an understanding of, yeah, I believe in God. That's what I'm talking about. He hadn't been saved yet. And look what God did. And I found that kind of funny when I look back all those years, like, wow, God, how'd you do that? And we talk about it now. And so I'm looking at different things that God might be doing in me, through me, with much more understanding of the gospel of the kingdom, command of the scripture, and all of that in his presence. To say, God, use me as a living explosion. Use my life. I may not do everything right, but use my life that way. If you say, well, I just may be the one who doesn't say anything, you might be, but you might not be from God's perspective. And so you really need to be really close to the Lord and listen to what he's saying here and say, I want to know your word and your way, but I'm going to use you. And sometimes he'll use us to stop things that are already in motion, and we say no because we're afraid. That's not a good place to be, because the Lord never works through fear, ever. So, energizing and effective, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Wow, isn't that strong? We want the Word of God to be moving and active and actually accomplishing, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. That's kind of a scary thing, but I think Jesus paid a big enough price to say, I am the Word, and I have become flesh, and I've dwelt amongst you. I am the King of glory. I'm amazing. I am amazing. Wow. Ooh. Can we put up a Romans 15, please, in the message? That would be good. I'm going to move up here just to get a little bit more light for me. We're not going through all of this, but I want to just draw your attention to some things as as we're thinking about Christmas. Yeah, it's long. But Romans 15 is from the scriptures, obviously, and this is Paul's message, and he's speaking after the gospel has been completely laid out, has been completely energized and clearly given, and he's saying, I want you to see what it's going to be like as I lay out for you what it is that Jesus has come to do and how you can act that out and walk that out. Those of you who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but he waded right in and he helped out. I took on the troubles of the troubled, is the way Scripture puts it. Even if it was, whoops, even, where are we going? Even if it was, thank you, it was written in Scripture long ago, you can be sure it's written for us. Before I go on, remember that all Scripture is God-breathed. Jesus can be found in the Old Testament and the New Testament from Genesis 3:15 on, even from Genesis 1:1, because the Godhead was involved in creation. So Jesus is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He's saying the wise ones will be able to interpret what I was doing and what I meant and the purposes of the Old Testament. Of course, I'm the fulfillment in the New Testament, but all Scripture is purposeful and all Scripture is God-breathed. So that's exciting. Here it says to us that God wants the combination of his steady, constant calling and warm, personal counsel in Scripture to come to characterize us, Old and New Testament, keeping us alert for whatever he will do next. May our dependably, steady, and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. Then we'll be a choir, not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to the God and Father of our Master Jesus. So reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Jesus did it. Now you do it. Jesus, staying true to God's purposes, reached out in a special way to the Jewish insiders so that the old ancestral promises would come true for them. As a result, the non-Jewish outsiders have been able to experience mercy and to show appreciation to God. Just think of all the scriptures that will come true in what we do. For instance, then I'll join outsiders in a hymn sing. I'll sing to your name. And this one, outsiders and insiders rejoice together. And again, people of all nations celebrate God. All colors and races give hearty praise. And Isaiah's word, there's a root, the root of our ancestor Jesse, breaking through the earth and growing tree tall, tall enough for everyone everywhere to see and take hope. Oh, may the God of green hope fill you up with joy, fill you up with peace, so that your believing lives, filled with life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit, will brim over with hope. Personally, I've been completely satisfied with who you are and what you're doing. You seem to me to be well-motivated and well-instructed, quite capable of guiding and advising one another. How important that is. So, my dear friends, don't take my rather bold and blunt language as criticism. It's not criticism. I'm simply underlining how very much I need your help in carrying out this highly focused assignment God gave me. This priestly and gospel work of serving the spiritual needs of the non-Jewish outsiders so they can be presented as an acceptable offering to God, made whole and holy by God's very Spirit. That's good. I was so encouraged when I was reading that in the message. It's more of a user-friendly version for us to be thinking about ourselves in this season and what the Lord wants to do. I had the privilege with Pastor Bill two days ago, not counting today, to go and witness something that was really, really cool. It was a good friend of ours who many of you have read about and you know about. They're Heidi and Roland Baker of Iris Ministries. And Roland Baker, you can put the picture up of the five of us, if you would. Put that one up first. He has gone through so much turmoil, so much distress. That's not the picture. That's maybe Andy can help her. It's the one on Facebook. It's the one on Facebook. If you could, please. Just biggie size this, because there's a point. I want to show you this picture for a reason. When you see a picture like this, you see someone. If you can turn the lights off, because there's another picture to follow that's going to really tie this in for you. Turn all the lights off, please. We were down in Dayton this week, and you see someone who's graduating. At first glance, you see a funny little hat, and this is the robes of someone who has studied and shown themselves approved to receive their doctorate. And this is Roland Baker, and he and Heidi head up Iris Ministries that we're very close in partnering with. And they go all over the world. They have ministries all over the world, and they have paid a very big price, both of them together, for this to happen. And we know a little bit about their background and what's going on in their lives, and they've made some of it known. And they have suffered for the gospel. They have been persecuted for the gospel. They have laid themselves down on the altar for the gospel of the kingdom, and God is lifting them up. Just a few years ago, Roland almost died, and his mind was being taken from him, was taken from him. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't put on his own pants himself. He'd get lost. He had all kinds of things that had happened, including cerebral malaria, PTSD, and many other things hitting him at once. And here he is, he and Heidi are leading this international ministry, and they were stricken, and they really could relate to what Paul said about being shipwrecked and stoned and abused and shot at and everything. They've experienced all these things. And so when this was going on, when there was a graduation ceremony, we were with Mel Tari. You know Mel on the right side. Mel's a family friend and advisor and papa in our house here as well, and an internationally known evangelist who's significantly cherished and treasured in the kingdom and goes very, very low to stay low and humble. And he's given great, great places in the kingdom of God all over the world in virtually every country. And he's Heidi and Roland's spiritual papa as well as advisor for them and the best man in their wedding. And the Lord has privileged us to be able to know him well and be connected to him. So when he called us to invite us to this, you know, we thought, God, what are you going to do? And so when Pastor Bill picked him up at the airport, this all ties in to this next picture, Bill was sharing some things from his heart. And when I saw, it was really late at night, and I saw him the next morning, and we embraced. And he said to me, this just humbles me. He said to me, I thought I was coming to support Heidi and Roland, but I came to give you a word from God. And I'm crying as he's giving this word in the car and crying. It doesn't negate this, but it was both and more. And he goes, I want you to know what a big deal that is and what God is saying to you right now, because it's a very big deal. And it broke me again. You always think you're broken. You know, it's like, okay, going low, woo, and crying more. It's like, wow. So I'm sharing all this to point to a picture, because when you see a picture, you go, oh, that's what that means. But there's so much more behind it. And the price that was paid for Roland, that Roland and Heidi paid, was so, so big for him to get to this point. So Heidi was actually the commencement speaker for those who are receiving their master's, their MDivs, and also their doctorate. And so primarily doctorate, and there were some other heavyweights in the spirit there, Randy Clark and some other people. And it was a small gathering, and I kept saying, God, what are you doing here? I want to know what you're doing here. There's a reason for this for me, but what are you doing beyond that? I want to see. So when Heidi was giving her message, she was talking about a little lady in Mozambique who didn't have a degree. She didn't have the education, but she had such an intimacy with the Lord that when a baby died in her village, she so trusted the Word of God. She so believed the Word. She so tracked with the Holy Spirit that she held this dead baby for 3 days and the baby came back to life. And so Heidi was sharing this to all those in the pomp and circumstance of getting their degrees and all of that. And knowing her, knowing these people, it's like, Lord, I think I know why you're doing what you're doing here, and why she's saying this. She wasn't rebuking. She was strengthening. But she was also telling them, don't let this go to your head, people. This is something that God wants to do for you. Because she was speaking to a group that needed to hear that. I'm one of them, all of us. Because God gave her the word to give. So she spoke about that, and she also spoke a little bit about what I just told you about Roland, two people who didn't even know. Heidi Baker is very well known in the kingdom and very well known around the world, very well known here, but not very well known in a lot of other places. But God says, I know you. And I know exactly what you're thinking. I know exactly what you're doing. I know exactly what I've called you to do. I know exactly what's going to happen to you next year, this next month. I know what's going to go down on Christmas. I know what's going to happen 3 months from now. I am very purposeful. I know exactly. And it's going to be an explosion of power way beyond what you can understand, expect, imagine, and even believe right now. I will give you the faith to believe it and to walk it out and to carry it out. I am the one who will get behind you, and I will push you up. I will propel you. I will exalt you. I will lift you. Because I oppose the proud, but I give grace to the humble. And Heidi was an example of giving that the other day. And so when I talked with her, both of them after, I said to Heidi, I said, thank you so much for giving a message like this. I've never heard a commencement speech like this before. She said, well, thanks for praying. It's just what the Holy Spirit told me to say. And I said, oh, I know. It was so obvious. Holy Spirit was all over the place. And she said, well, you know what it's like. You've had cerebral malaria. Oh. Yes, I did. You almost died. Yes, I did. But she remembered that. And we hugged. And she came to my room and prayed for me when I was dying, potentially dying. Amongst all of you, with you guys praying too. But she remembered. And I looked at her, the tears in my eyes, going, yeah. Yeah. I've got a message to sing and to praise and to preach and to give with my life. And I'm never going to stop. And Roland was an example of this to everyone there. Okay. I hope this turns out. Okay. I just hope it does. Because Mel and Bill and I were up there, and we're flashing pictures, and, you know, they were saying, don't yell, and go, woohoo, and it's like, oh, this is really hard. But we did a little bit of that. Mel said, I didn't come all this way not to give glory to God. So we were careful. We were polite. We were polite. It was really fun, though. I mean, he was just like, hey, praise Jesus at the right time. Because he knows the story behind the picture. That's why I'm showing this to you. We need to look at the story behind what we see. This is the reason. Look at what's going on behind the picture. All right? Behind the word, behind the opinion, behind the assumption. Go deeper, go lower, and God will bring us into a place of explosion. Can you put that picture up now? This is what came on my camera and Pastor Bill's camera. This is the power of God. This is the explosion, I believe, of the Holy Spirit. There were all kinds of pictures that were being taken. Bam, 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 boom. And then this. And then after that, bam, bam. Nothing had changed. Hadn't even moved. Just keep it up there. I don't know. I don't even know if you know it's on your cell phone. Did you see it? It's on your cell too. Did you know it? You knew it? No, I'm saying this picture's there. Yeah.
It looks like there's an angel on that glass.
You know what? I'm just saying. All I can say is, Lord, show me what's going on behind. Now, we can be skeptical. We can raise an eyebrow. I don't know. Roland's a photographer. I went up to him, congratulated him, and I said, we took lots of pictures. Do you want to see the best one of all of them? And he goes, yeah. I showed him. You can't even see him. You can't see him. You can't see Heidi. Now, let me tell you what. And I showed him. I said, let me lay this out there, because man's very logical here, okay? I said, and that's good. Smart dude. And we had pictures of him, his name being called, getting out of his seat, walking up there. It was like, boom, boom, boom. Okay? And then Heidi was on the stage, and she came over at the moment to help, as they came together as a couple, she came over to help put the robe on him, or to hood him. Not the hood, but the hat. She had the hat, but the robe him, to put that on. And she came over just at that moment. And that's what she said. She goes, oh. Like, as I showed her too, she goes, look at that. And then the next picture right after that was, she's standing there with him. So it was all a progression, and they were all in order. So I thought, okay, God, I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of other pictures. So I showed it to a bunch of people. They just didn't know even what to say. They just went, oh. So I went to his kids, And they're photographers too. Christy Baker is. Crystalyn Baker's a photographer and her husband and all that. And so they were taking pictures. And I said, your mom wanted me to show you the best picture that was taken. And they just went, whoa. Whoa. So I risk someone here going, well, that's probably all the light in the place. And, you know, maybe so. If I mean, I'm not going to agree with that. But if you want to think that, okay. I believe in the spirit for me when I saw this. I was shaking and I started crying. And it's like, whoa, I'm not impressed by a picture. I'm impressed by the Lord. And if the Lord chose to show up in this way, come on. So I sent it to Heidi and I sent it to Roland as well. I'm not putting it on Facebook. I put this on Facebook. Because the rest of the world can go, wow, there's somebody who graduated. Put a little post there, okay? And maybe I will sometime as the Lord leads me, because I'm not afraid of Facebook. But the point is, I wanted to give glory to the Lord for Roland being used by God, that he was glorified from what this man had come to. No one knew behind the scenes unless they knew Roland, but he went from death to life. Do you see what I'm saying? The power of God was an explosion. I believe that's a demonstration for us today. I'm going to frame it and send it to Mozambique or take it next time we go. And so when people come in his house, he can look and say, that's my graduation. Come on. So Father, I just thank you for this Christmas message. Explosion of power. I thank you, Lord God, that you are the message. And thank you, Lord God. I thank you for your life. Thank you for your glory. Thank you, Lord, that we celebrate you. May your name be praised, Father, on every front. And may we look behind the picture and see who you are, see what you're doing, and be part of that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, thank you that we can just close today, even singing Joy to the World. If we can do that, whoever leads worship or wants to sing it, come on. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. His presence is here. His presence is amongst us now. We give you glory and honor as you go to all your family gatherings and functions, that we can see behind the picture what you're doing, what the next step is for our life. Can we have someone join me up here? I can sing myself, but I don't think you want it. So can somebody come? Father, in Jesus' name, we just give you and celebrate your life. Celebrate your love. Celebrate your goodness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Sing whatever you want. If it's not Joy to the World, it's just coming to me. God bless you. Let's sing and just celebrate with the people that we love. In Jesus' name. Be encouraged today by the power and glory of God. May it not be just a picture. May it be a sense of his presence close to us, what he's doing for us.